Thanks very much indeed, Sean. Hello and welcome to the Royal Albert Hall for a BBC prom of the kind of English music for which this wonderful circus of a building is simply perfect. After the interval, we've Elgar's First Symphony, dubbed at its premiere by the conductor Hans Richter, the greatest symphony of modern times. But first, the BBC Symphony Orchestra and tonight's conductor Martin Brabbins, joined by soprano Mia Pershon and tenor Andrew Kennedy, together with the combined forces of the BBC Symphony Chorus and the London Philharmonic Choir, for the prom's premiere of Herbert Howells' Hymnus Paradisi. Martin Brabbins has no doubts about the work.
I think it is a masterpiece, it really is. It's one of those things that the English composers do extraordinarily well, is write choral pieces. You know, we've got this very strong tradition and Howells was steeped in it. And he really makes sounds and emotional impact in this piece that you probably don't hear anywhere else. I think for me the chorus is the thing that people will remember about the piece, and they do take the drama forward. The two soloists of course have beautiful moments, but I think the main protagonist in the piece, it has to be said, is the chorus.
Howells composed the Hymnus Paradisi as a completely personal document to commemorate the death of his 9-year-old son, Michael. He found the writing process cathartic, then put the intimate, painful score away in a drawer. It took the combined enthusiasms of Finzi, Vaughan Williams and Adrian Bolt to convince Howells it should be heard in public, and it was eventually premiered at the 1950 Three Choirs Festival in Gloucester Cathedral. Howells said that for his text he'd sought immemorial prose. He uses only two sentences from the Latin Requiem Mass, but one of them, et lux perpetua luce ad eis, and may perpetual light shine upon them, governs the work, particularly that word lux, light. Otherwise, the text comes from the Psalms and the Book of Common Prayer. Howells grew up in the Gloucestershire countryside, which he always said had a major influence on shaping his musical personality, as did hearing in Gloucester Cathedral what he called the immemorial sound of voices. No wonder the chorus is the driving force in Howells' memorial for his son. The first three movements are a mystical orchestral prelude leading into the Requiem Aeternam, in which soprano and chorus ecstatically seize on the words lux perpetua, perpetual light. The tenor joins in for the third movement, a beautiful setting of the psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd. The second part of the work is more highly charged, the Sanctus counterpointing the Latin words with the psalm, I will lift up mine eyes, and turning from brooding contemplation to defiance. A short fifth movement acts as an interlude using words from the burial service. And in the finale, Howells sets the rapt words, holy is the one true light. He said that personal grief, itself spent, is merged in a general pervasive light and warmth of consolation. And joining a packed Albert Hall platform, tonight's leader of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Anna Coleman. Followed by the soloists Mia Pershon and Andrew Kennedy and conductor Martin Brabbins. Joining the orchestra, the BBC Symphony Chorus and the London Philharmonic Choir, who are wrapped around the organ, you might say, to perform Howells' Hymnus Paradisi.
Thank you. Oh. Oh.
A visionary climax, dying away in those luminous alleluias, somehow suggesting consolation for the living, peace for the dead, and ending, as Howells himself wrote, in complete tranquility. His Hymnus Parazidi has just received its first BBC Proms performance here in the Royal Albert Hall, and live, of course, on Radio 3. The soprano soloist Mia Persson and the tenor Andrew Kennedy with the BBC Symphony Chorus, Chorus Master Stephen Jackson, the London Philharmonic Choir, Chorus Master Neville Creed, and the BBC Symphony Orchestra. The conductor was Martin Brabbins. Have to mention the Albert Hall organ. Those bass notes go straight through your feet. It's quite extraordinary in this building. And Malcolm Hicks, I'm assured, was doing triple stopping on the pedals. He must have extraordinarily flexible feet. Scores inscribed to my son, Michael Kendrick Howells, in remembrance. But Callum MacDonald in tonight's programme notes suggest Howells' final spur to complete the work may have been the death of his close friend, composer and poet Ivor Gurney, both Gloucestershire men, students together at the Royal College. Howells, one of the few to visit Gurney in mental hospital, and Gurney buried in the same Gloucestershire graveyard as Michael, in fact, next to him. Back onto the platform, Mia Persson and Andrew Kennedy. Andrew Kennedy, something of an Ivor Gurney specialist, hoping to record some newly discovered, if you like, songs of his in the near future. And he says he feels that Howells felt some guilt at his own success while Gurney's life was destroyed. Onto the platform, the two chorus masters, Stephen Jackson and Neville Creed. Martin Brabbins was suggesting at rehearsal this afternoon that the two were playing good cop and bad cop. One going for the jugular while the other massaged the egos. Back onto the podium, Martin Brabbins. It was the turning point of Howells' career, this piece. After it, his music is almost entirely choral. Martin Brabbins brings the BBC Symphony Orchestra to its feet. And holds high the score. Howells said the texts are immemorial reflections upon the transient griefs and indestructible hopes of mankind. It's such an impressive piece because what Howells is trying to express seems to be wholly at one with his way of expressing it. If you missed it, if you want to hear it again, don't forget, it's on the iPlayer for the next week. The first Proms performance of Howells' Hymnus Paradisi. Maybe the opening ceremony of the Paralympic Games tonight, but that hasn't stopped a packed Royal Albert Hall. Back come Mia Persson, Andrew Kennedy, Neville Creed, Stephen Jackson, and Martin Brabbins. Lovely way the choruses always applaud their chorus masters. They must be doing something right. And they've just brought their choruses to their feet. Martin Brabbins does the same with the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Mia Persson and Andrew Kennedy at the front. Very much the choruses piece, but wonderful the way the two voices float above the chorus sound and have those wonderfully poignant and pertinent interjections of their own. Well, Howells grew up living and breathing Elgar, who himself had grown up in the same kind of countryside near the River Severn as Howells, and it influenced him just as much. After the interval, the BBC Symphony Orchestra and Martin Brabbins assail Elgar's magnificent First Symphony. But for the next 20 minutes here on Radio 3, we hear words about Elgar as we head down the steps to the Royal College of Music to join Susan Hitch and her guests.
Hello and welcome to this evening's Literary and Musical Proms Plus. The filmmaker and writer John Bridcutt is here talking about the surprising Elgar, contradictory, romantic, not so enthusiastically nationalist, that he found in making his award-winning documentary film.